Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ourselves is volume 4 of Charlotte Mason Home Education Series, a foundational work in Christian educational philosophy first published in the early 20th century. Unlike many books in the series that primarily address parents and teachers, this volume is written largely for students, especially older children and adolescents. It is organized into two major parts, self-knowledge and self-direction, and treats moral education as a disciplined study of the inner life. Mason presents character formation through discussions of desire, habit, conscience, will, reason, imagination, love, and the soul. The illustrated edition keeps the essential purpose of the original work while making the text more accessible through formatting and visual support. The book belongs to the genre of educational philosophy and moral instruction, but it is unusually direct in addressing young readers as responsible persons. Its purpose is not merely to teach proper behavior, but to help students understand themselves so that self-command can become a thoughtful and practiced form of growth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-knowledge as the foundation of moral education. Mason treats self-knowledge as a necessary starting point for character formation. The student is not asked simply to obey rules, memorize virtues, or imitate approved conduct. Instead, the book asks the young reader to observe the powers, impulses, and tendencies within the self. This emphasis reflects Mason's view that children are persons with moral and spiritual agency, not empty vessels to be managed by adults. By learning to name desires, appetites, affections, and intellectual powers, the student gains a practical vocabulary for self-government. The reasoning is clear: a person cannot govern what remains vague or unnoticed. If anger, vanity, laziness, curiosity, or imagination are treated only as passing moods, they easily control conduct. If they are understood as forces that can be directed, resisted, or trained, the child begins to participate in moral growth. This makes the book distinctive within educational writing, because it places inward understanding before outward performance. Mason does not reduce education to academic attainment. She connects learning with the formation of a responsible inner life. Secondly, self-direction through conscience, will, and disciplined choice. The second major movement of Ourselves focuses on self-direction, especially the role of conscience and will. Mason does not present the will as mere stubborn determination or emotional intensity. Rather, she treats it as the faculty by which a person chooses a course and holds to it when desire, distraction, or convenience would suggest otherwise. Conscience gives moral awareness, but conscience alone is not enough if the will is weak or untrained. This distinction is important because the book recognizes a common human problem. People may know what is right and still fail to act on it. Mason therefore emphasizes practice, attention, and the deliberate turning of the mind toward worthy objects. Her approach avoids both sentimental moralism and harsh discipline. She assumes that young people can learn to govern themselves, but only if they are taught how inner choice actually works. This gives the book practical value for education because it links moral ideals with daily acts of decision, restraint, and renewal rather than leaving virtue as an abstract aspiration. Thirdly, the Christian view of the person as soul, intellect, and body, Ourselves is shaped by a distinctly Christian anthropology. Mason regards the child as a whole person, made for truth, goodness, beauty, and service. This framework explains why the book pays attention not only to conduct, but also to intellect, imagination, emotion, bodily appetites, conscience, and spiritual life. The human being is not divided into separate educational compartments. Intellectual growth affects moral judgment, bodily habits affect self-command, and spiritual orientation shapes the meaning of duty. This integrated view differs from educational models that treat character as a set of social behaviors or academic achievement as the central measure of development. Mason assumes that the soul must be nourished by worthy ideas and that moral growth is connected to a rightly ordered life before God. At the same time, the book is not a formal theology manual. Its Christian commitments function as the ground for practical counsel about humility, selflessness, desire, usefulness, and responsibility. Readers from outside that tradition may still recognize the seriousness with which Mason treats the moral dignity of children. Fourthly, use of literary illustration to make inward life concrete. A notable feature of Ourselves is Mason's method of explaining moral and psychological ideas through examples drawn from literature and familiar human experience. Rather than presenting character education as a list of definitions, she uses illustrative material to help students recognize patterns of thought and conduct. This reflects a broader principle in her educational philosophy. Living ideas are more formative than dry summaries. Literature allows young readers to see pride, courage, sympathy, folly, perseverance, or selfishness embodied in recognizable situations. That concrete quality matters because the inner life can otherwise become too abstract for adolescent readers. A child may not fully grasp a general statement about vanity or self-command, but can perceive it when shown through a vivid example. The illustrated edition reinforces this accessibility by supporting the text visually, though the core educational method remains Mason's original use of rich language and example. The result is a form of moral instruction that invites reflection rather than passive acceptance. It teaches students to interpret human action, including their own, with greater care. Lastly, character formation as preparation for useful and selfless living, Mason connects self-knowledge and self-direction to outward usefulness. The aim of moral education is not private self-improvement for its own sake, nor a narrow concern with personal respectability. The student is being prepared to live generously, responsibly, and fruitfully among others. This is why Ourselves gives attention to selflessness, service, duty, and the wise use of gifts. Mason assumes that talents and capacities carry obligations. Intelligence, imagination, affection, and energy should be cultivated so they can serve worthy ends rather than become tools of vanity or self-indulgence. This gives the book a social dimension that is sometimes overlooked when it is described only as a work on self-control. The self is studied not in order to become self-absorbed, but in order to be less ruled by appetite and more available for good work. The reasoning is practical. A person governed by unchecked desire is less able to love, learn, serve, or persevere. By training inner life, the student becomes more capable of contributing to family, community, and society. In conclusion, Ourselves is best suited for readers interested in Charlotte Mason education, Christian moral formation, classical home education, or the intellectual history of character instruction. It is especially relevant for parents, homeschool educators, teachers of adolescents, and older students who can engage reflective prose. Modern readers should be prepared for an early 20th century style and for assumptions shaped by Christian belief. But these features are central to the work rather than incidental. The practical benefit of the book lies in its careful account of inner discipline. It gives students language for understanding desire, conscience, will, imagination, and responsibility, which can support more thoughtful self-government. Its intellectual benefit is equally important. It shows how Mason joins education, moral psychology, literature, and theology into a unified vision of personal formation. Compared with many modern character education books, Ourselves stands out because it does not rely on simplified virtue lists, behavioral management techniques, or short motivational lessons. It treats young readers as capable of serious thought about their own souls and conduct. Compared with general parenting manuals, it is unusual because it speaks directly to the child or adolescent, making the learner an active participant in formation. Its lasting value is this combination of high expectations, inward analysis, and educational seriousness. If you would like to support Charlotte Mason, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.